My first response is that seems impossible. Mm. Really, it seems impossible that we can't find anything to be grateful for. God allows the sun to rise and the sun to set, and most of us don't even know what it feels like to be hungry or need food, and we switch up a light and there's light. And I recognize that there are many people who struggle with depression and they have a difficult time finding anything to be grateful for. But I think we need to stop and really center ourselves, get out of our mind and into our hearts, and really take a deeper look at what we really truly can be grateful for.
And welcome to this week's edition of Come Receive the Light, a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Well, here in the U.S., we're on the front end of Thanksgiving week, depending upon when you're hearing this broadcast, a time when we pause and think about all those things we really should be thinking about all the time, the things we're thankful for, and how much we are indeed blessed. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, had a lot to say about being grateful. In chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, he wrote, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." By the way, is there a difference between being thankful and being grateful? Well, listen closely, and perhaps you'll hear an answer to that question as Father Chris talks with our first guest.
My special guest today is Presbytera Pat Tsagalakis. She is the wife of the priest in Seattle, Washington. She teaches music to elementary and middle school students at St. John's School in Seattle. Her husband serves at the Holy Apostles Orthodox Church in Seattle. And among her many talents, she tells us, are several retreats that she's led on the topic of gratitude. She's here today to talk with us about Thanksgiving, which is a day that we set aside to express gratitude to God and the people around us. It inspires us to extend love to our neighbors and those in need. But gratitude isn't something that we should be saving for a holiday. It needs to be expressed all year long. And we've asked Presbytera Pat to come to the program today to talk to us about it. Hi, Presbytera, how are you?
Thank you, Father Chris. I'm doing really well. It's such a joy to be with you today.
You know, often a parent will prompt a child to thank someone in sort of an obligatory way. I know my mother and my father were very much on that. When someone does something, you say thank you. Thank you,
yes.
Sir. Thank you, ma'am. That's far gone from these days, but that's what we used to do when we were kids. In the liturgy, we hear the petition, we give thanks to the Lord. What is our response to this petition from your experience? And why do you think it's important to be graceful and show gratitude?
Well, I think when the priest comes out and he looks at the congregation, what does he say? He said, "Let us give thanks unto the Lord." And then what do we sing? It is proper and right. Mm. And I think that each of us, when we really look at that place of gratitude, we need to recognize that it is proper and right, and your mom and your dad were correct in trying to really instill in you this idea of giving thanks, mm-hmm. and saying thank you. But there's a big difference of doing an obligatory thank you and really making gratefulness and appreciation a part of our daily lives, right. Not just around the Thanksgiving table, but in our everyday lives.
So in other words, we're saying it's proper and right, therefore we do it, correct?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we do it because it's proper and right.
Okay.
But it's one of those things that the church is so beautiful in telling us and sharing with us that truth. It is proper and right, and we should be giving thanks.
And it also stems, I believe, from the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God. So therefore, each of us has that image and likeness within us. Therefore, when we express to someone else, we're also expressing that reflection of God within that person, right?
Absolutely. And that goes right to the fact of how we treat one another. It's about recognizing that place that God has created in each and every one of us.
Okay. So I believe you and I can acknowledge that all things are from God, And frankly, I think that keeps us honest for most part, at least for those people who believe in God.
Yeah.
So how do we then instill that spirit of gratitude, the heart of gratitude in our children and strengthen it even in ourselves?
Well, I think that act of practicing gratitude starts with being rooted in God. And I think it starts with prayer, family prayers around the dinner table or our icon corner. It's just imperative that we really look at the idea of Eucharistia in our worship and in our liturgy and in our lives being really central in our everyday living with children. But I also think it's in the way we treat one another. It's how we speak to each other. It's how we stop responding with criticism and resentment and judgment, and then instead focus in on really being gracious and appreciative to those around us. You know, there's this saying that says, change the way you look at things and the things you look at change. And I think as a family, we need to change sometimes the way we approach one another to really see the graciousness and the joy and the love and the God within each and every one of us.
Around Thanksgiving, the trend on social media is to post things that we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually this begins to sound like boasting more than gratitude. How can we keep a humble heart, counting our blessings so that pride doesn't actually distract us?
I think it's a great point. It's imperative at every turn that we resist that urge to be prideful and instead give glory to God in all things. I mean, it's very interesting how easy it is to jump on the envy and jealousy bandwagon when we're bombarded by, you know, Facebook posts or Instagram and photos, and it's really easy to compare ourselves to others. But it's really important to keep a humble and gentle heart through all of that. I think we can really get trapped in trying to compare our lives to others, and it's very dangerous, and then it pushes us towards being boastful and pride, and that's the last thing we want as Orthodox Christians. We want to live with a humble and gracious heart.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Evan Almighty. Have you seen that one?
I haven't.
Okay, that's a movie about a man who, it's amazing. He's in just doing nothing. He's going through life, and his name is Evan Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes a congressman, and God calls him down and says, you know, you're going to build an ark, because there's going to be a large flood. And he changes, his whole appearance changes as if he's Noah.
Okay.
And he starts collecting the wood, and he builds this ark in this suburban area that he moves to. His family thinks he's nuts. Congress thinks he's nuts. The only one that doesn't think he's nuts are the animals, because they start coming. And what happens, Morgan Freeman is playing God in this.
Right.
And he points out at the beginning and at the end of the movie, he writes in the sand the word ark. Acts of random kindness. And I think that's probably what the world is missing more than anything. Acts of random kindness that are not based on what we do or don't do for someone, but just because they're the right thing to do at the right time. What do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I really, really believe that is so true. And when we extend ourselves to those random acts of kindness, it can only bring gratitude to that person that's receiving that, but also to us. It gives us great joy to do so.
What do you tell someone who feels they have nothing to be thankful for? I mean, there are people like that who are depressed, whose lives are in a tailspin. But what do we tell those people, Pat? What do we say to them?
Well, my first response is that seems impossible. Mm. Really, it seems impossible that we can't find anything to be grateful for. God allows the sun to rise and the sun to set, and most of us don't even know what it feels like to be hungry or need food, and we switch up a light and there's light. And I recognize that there are many people who struggle with depression and they have a difficult time finding anything to be grateful for. But I think we need to stop and really center ourselves, get out of our mind and into our hearts, and really take a deeper look at what we really truly can be grateful for. I work at a camp every summer called Camp Agape, and it's for kids with cancer and their families. And I am always awestruck of how these families, in the most difficult and really hard circumstances, find ways to be grateful. And I think that that's one of the keys to their healing. I think that's one of the the things that really has touched me the most in working with these families is that they find ways, even in their difficulties, even in their struggles, to be grateful for where the people around them, the nurses, the staff, the doctors, the people that help them every day. It's really a witness and a testimony to how things can be difficult, but you can still find gratitude in each day.
Let me ask you this, Pat. If thankfulness puts us in a proper relationship with God, I would imagine then that resentment and jealousy would be opposite to gratitude. So can you talk to us about the dangers there are in resentment or that passion of jealousy?
I think it's the most important thing to look at around this subject. You know, there is this place that we go to, which is resentful. And there's a wonderful book that Henry Nouwen wrote, and he talked about that resentment blocks action and gratitude lets us move forward into new possibilities. Resentment helps us cling to negative feelings, and gratitude allows us to let go. And I think resentment holds us prisoner to our passions, and it entangles us in just so many distractions, and it pulls us down. And if we can find a way not to allow resentment, and then I also think there is this element of a lack of forgiveness that happens in that place where we hold on to things and we become so angry and depressed or frustrated, or, you know, it's a very difficult place to be, and we therefore find no way out of that. Mm-hmm. And we need God, and we need forgiveness, and we need repentance, and we need confession to really pull us out of that resentful place.
How would you describe the differences between gratitude and happiness? I mean, can there be gratitude even in suffering?
I definitely think so. Yes. I feel that. And I think happiness is very different than that. Happiness is when things are kind of going your way. The beauty of gratitude is that in all circumstances, in our messy and difficult lives, if we find a way to find that graciousness and a grateful spirit within that difficulty, we give glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you've led several retreats on gratitude. And during those retreats, let's share with our listeners, what are some of the tools you recommend to harvest that thankful heart?
Well, one is the Akathist of Thanksgiving. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer written by a priest who was in exile in like the 1940s. And we do it at our church. It's a wonderful prayer service that we do all throughout the month of November. The other thing I think is a really wonderful practice is a gratitude journal. Every day, writing down 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. But it's not only those small things that you can do independently in prayer and journaling, but it's really extending yourself. It's finding ways to show, again, what you were talking about, random acts of kindness, extending yourself, giving to one another. I think it's a key element in this subject of Thanksgiving.
Presbytero, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Even though you're on the other corner of the United States, we feel like you're close to us.
Thank you, Father Chris, and thank you for all the beautiful work you do.
Thank you, Pat. God bless you.
Well, I pray that we have given you some ideas you can make your own and put more gratitude and thankfulness into your life and the lives of those around you. If you'd like to share this conversation with someone, just steer them toward our website at myocn.net and have them click on the Listen button. It's at the top of the homepage. And did you know that we have been doing this for over 20 years? Well, what I mean by this is this broadcast. Father Chris launched this media outreach for the Orthodox Christian Network 20 years ago. And my, how the Lord has blessed and the ministry has grown. We have a lot to be thankful for. Mostly we're thankful for those of you who join with us financially. If you're looking for a ministry to support beyond your local church, of course, which touches lives in an eternally significant way, please spend some time on our website and consider joining with us. Again, the site is myocn.net. Well, a sister ministry that touches lives, literally, is the focus of our attention next as we turn a corner to our second conversation this week.
In the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus reminds the crowd that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. International Orthodox Christian Charities, or IOCC, takes this message to heart and cares for people all around the world. Today we have Dan Christopoulos, who is the U.S. country representative for the International Orthodox Christian Charities, the official humanitarian relief agency of Orthodox Christians everywhere in the United States. He is responsible to manage all aspects of IOCC's humanitarian activities in the States, ranging from emergency response to development programs. Dan, welcome to the show today.
Father Chris, it's always great to be with you and the OCN listeners.
Dan, you recently facilitated a youth gathering called Serve Extreme. I'm interested in this. That's an unusual name for a conference. What does that mean?
Well, you know, as you kind of alluded in your intro, one of the goals that we have is helping Orthodox Christians, not only here in the United States, but all over the world, really understand the idea of diakonia, of service. And specifically, one of the segments or the demographics that we want to focus on is our youth. And in thinking about the youth, you know, they have the X Games, they have all kinds of things where they really, through modern media and everything, take everything to the extreme. And we said, well, let's look at service, and let's look at service to the extreme as well. And then the other thing that caught our eye, and we kind of coined this, is that when you put the X in there, we can really look at that standing for Christ right in the middle of and also the cross. And so the idea of Serve Extreme is that it's a focus on service that emanates from Christ, who is the servant above all servants.
Why is it everything today has an X, and everything has to be to the extreme? Is it because we've forgotten what we really should be doing that Christ taught in the parable of the sheep and goats?
You know, I think that's a great point, and I don't have an answer to that, but I think your assessment is really spot on, that it does seem, especially as we deal with younger demographics, that, you know, we're pushing the edge on everything. And I do think it's a matter of returning to what's most important. And again, for us, as we kicked around some ideas of what to call this conference, we said, well, we want to make sure that Christ is right in the center of this and that we're really Christocentric. So we do think that, you know, maybe we have strayed, and maybe our young people especially, there's so much competing things out there, so many competing things out there, that we wanted to bring this back around to saying, hey, Christ is the most important aspect of our life, and loving God and loving our neighbor, which are the two great commandments, really have to be our mantra. So that's kind of where we're coming from on this, and then really trying to equip our young people to get refocused on a Christocentric life.
You know, Dan, 80% of our listeners and viewers are between the ages of 17 to 34. And I have to tell you, we have certain categories, listen, read, watch, and learn on the various platforms. But we've added another platform, which is interact. And that numbers in the millions on a weekly basis. So I would say that they really want to see the church where the rubber is hitting the road, and not just sermons and nice messages, but they want hands-on. They want to see what's going on. So tell us about what's expected of the participants after they participate in the Serve Extreme Conference.
Sure. So what we did is we brought representatives. We actually sent a request out to every bishop of the Assembly of Orthodox Bishops in the United States, and we said, please appoint one person. We found a generous donor who underwrote the whole conference, and we brought these kids in that we were hoped would be seniors or entering seniors in high school. During the conference itself, we paired every day theological reflection about orthoproxy and about Orthodox diakonia with actually going and doing service projects. And we went to places like something called Northside Development Center, which is run by Catholic Charities. We went to the Salvation Army Harbor Light Center, which deals with homeless people. We went to the local Focus affiliate, which has a soup kitchen and a clothing closet. So every day of the five-day conference, they came in on a Sunday and left on a Saturday. We had some aspect of actual hands-on service opportunities. But we wanted to get beyond just the thinking of, oh yeah, let's go do something, and really put it in its context and understand how you do this, which is important, as important as what you do. So the expectation was we not only practiced this and talked about it, but then we covenanted with each other to continue to do these things when they returned to their own parishes. And as a matter of fact, this past week, I just sent letters out to each of the participants, which were promises they made, basically a pledge, where they signed their name and they put down some very specific things that they said they would do. So we waited now a couple months. The conference took place in August, and now here it is in at the end of October, and we sent that out with them. And coincidentally, they should have received them about Saturday or Friday. And as you know, this past Sunday, for those of us on the new calendar, was the gospel of the rich man and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. So we kind of timed that they would get that and hear that gospel lesson and really say, hey, are we sensitive to our brother and sister who is laying at our doorstep? So that very much is part and parcel of what this conference is about. It's not just getting together and having fun and having fellowship, but it's really asking some hard questions. And then really taking a deeper look at the whole idea of service and how service is done and committing and covenanting to do this type of service in their own parishes when they go back to their, you know, and they hailed from Alaska down to Alabama and from, I think, Massachusetts to California. So we really crossed the country with
Was this a one-time conference, or do you anticipate offering it again in the future?
God willing, we want this to be an annual conference. We have written for some grants from a couple of different sources, and if that grant or those grants are approved, then it'll continue. We had tremendous positive feedback from this first conference, and certainly the donor who underwrote it was very pleased with the outcomes. But as you allude, I mean, to do this just one time really doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're really in the business of trying to say, let's start something here and recapture that Orthodox understanding of philanthropy and diaconia.
Now, you recently spent some time in Alaska distributing books in cooperation with His Grace Bishop David of the Orthodox Church in America, the Diocese of Sitka in Alaska. I had the privilege of sitting with him at the recent meeting of the Assembly of Bishops. He's a wonderful individual. Can you tell us more about the books and where those will go?
Sure. You know, this is a program that we've been doing for a number of years. The books get given to us by people like McGraw-Hill and Pearson Education, and with the only stipulation that they cannot go to public schools. So for the last several years, we've been giving millions of dollars of books away. But when I took over the U.S. program almost 3 years ago now, I asked the question, how are we involving the Orthodox in this effort? And the answer was we really hadn't too much. We had been doing it through Kiwanis clubs, through other types of service organizations. And so what I said is, you know, let's look at our own Orthodox parochial schools, number one, and let's look at the church itself, and let us kind of help find partners that can take these books. So where do these books go? They go specifically to after-school type of tutoring programs, to Head Start programs, to private schools, whether they're parochial schools, you know, attached to churches, or just private schools that many times really don't have it into their budgets to get this first-rate type of book. These are all brand-new, never-used textbooks, and really what they are the overages or the overruns from the publishing companies. So up in Alaska, you know, we shipped up at our own cost a few thousand of these books, and I went up with His Grace and did a distribution to many of the local private schools in the Anchorage area. Then His Grace held some of those books back that as he travels throughout Alaska, we'll be taking them to the villages and really giving them to people who don't have the opportunity to buy books of this caliber. So it was a very successful distribution there. Actually, in October, we delivered almost $800,000 worth of books in Detroit, in Alabama, in Georgia, in Louisiana, and Alaska. Four of those states, oh, New Mexico, I should add, as well. Four of those states are amongst the lowest in educational attainment in the country, mm-hmm. Alaska being one of them, and New Mexico being another. So we're very excited, not only about the book distribution, but as I sat now the third time I met with His Grace Bishop David, I think that there are some things that we could be doing in Alaska in helping to alleviate some of the tremendous social issues that face that community and are very prevalent, especially in the villages. Highest suicide rate, highest alcoholism rate, highest drug abuse rate, sexual and physical abuse rates are some of the highest in the country. In talking with His Grace, I think that the Orthodox Church in Alaska is in a unique position in working with federal and state programs in trying to get some messages out of how to change behaviors and risk-taking behaviors and have people lead healthier lives. Okay. So that's what we're doing. So it's not just the books itself, but it's looking beyond the books and how we can really help people kind of improve their lives.
Well, everyone that listens to this program will have an opportunity now to stand with you and all the wonderful people at IOCC by participating on Sunday, November 23rd. We have a day that's been designated by the hierarchs of the Assembly of Bishops as IOCC Sunday in all parishes, pan-Orthodox, around the country. Tell us more about what that day means and why it's important, Dan.
Well, again, thank you for reminding everybody of that, Father Chris. I mean, as a sister agency in the Assembly of Agencies under the Canonical Orthodox Bishops, every one of us has been given a Sunday where we just want to lift that up before all of our Orthodox faithful in America to remind them of the good works being done not only by OCN and OCMC and IOCC, but all of the organizations that fall under the Assembly. And so that Sunday, which is always the Sunday before Thanksgiving, is a Sunday that's designated IOCC Sunday. This year we have a couple of new opportunities. One is that we have a challenge grant for $100,000. So every dollar that comes in on IOCC Sunday will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000.
Okay, stop there and say that again. That is phenomenal. So every dollar up to $100,000 will be doubled that's given. Is that correct?
Yes. There's again, private donors have put up $100,000 as a match. And so every dollar we raise up to $100,000 will be matched dollar for dollar.
Fantastic.
So again, it's a tremendous opportunity. Beyond that, there are other things that can be done at the parish level, certainly just talking about the work of IOCC, but there's health kits, there's school kits, there's cleanup buckets that are needed, and those are great projects for youth groups or senior citizens groups or any group within the church to, again, do this hands-on type of work. I mean, the reality is a lot of our people say, you know, we send you money, but we want to do something more than that. And this gives us an opportunity. I know that, you know, when we go in the U.S. and we go down, let's say, to Oklahoma City after the tornadoes, that we were able to take cleanup buckets, hundreds of cleanup buckets that were terribly important for the efforts of people whose homes were damaged by the tornadoes. Those things can be made by our local congregations and shipped to a warehouse in Maryland and distributed not only here in the U.S., but all over the world. And so those are some other ways of having hands-on experiences.
Dan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Again, we pray for everyone at IOCC and all the lives you touch around the country and around the globe. God give you strength and wisdom as you go forward with that great mission.
Father Chris, thank you. Again, it's always a pleasure to be with you and all the listeners at OCN, and God continue to bless your critical ministry for the church.
Thank you, Dan.
To learn more about that challenge grant that Father Chris and Dan talked about earlier, go to the website for IOCC. It's very simple, iocc.org, and we have a link to it on our website at myocn.net. And please remember that we are a nonprofit outreach as well and appreciate your financial support and your prayer support. If you haven't been to our website, I encourage you to check us out at myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thank you for joining with us and for sharing the fact that we're on the air with your friends. You are a very important ingredient in our outreach as you promote this ministry to others. Do pray for us. Do consider how you might join with us financially. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.